I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My topic is Emmanuel has come. And God has sent his son Emmanuel, who has come to save sinners. And Emmanuel means God with us. God's word tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Tonight, we celebrate Christmas. We want to give thanks on this Christmas night for a reason. For what purpose? The Apostle Matthew affirmed that the Messiah, which means the Anointed Christ, was born as a child and given as a Son of God for the good of Israel and for all the Gentile nations. And tonight we want to look at Isaiah 7:14. And we shall look at two main points. First, the Emmanuel has come according to the prophecies in Isaiah 7:14. And second, Emmanuel has come to fulfill the prophecies in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, just now as we have read. Before I begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee on this Christmas night, whereby thou hast sent thy begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world to save sinners saved by grace. Lord, we deserve nothing, that we are unworthy, yet thou hast given us thy Son to die for the redemption of our sins. And we pray for many of our loved ones, our friends, our relatives who are outside the kingdom of God, to believe the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. May we pray that thou be gracious and merciful to them, so that they may obtain salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Now as we open thy word, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will guide us as we listen to thy word. Please forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we look at the Messianic passage in the book of Isaiah. And why the book of Isaiah? Because the prophet Isaiah, whom the late Reverend Timothy Toh, the founding father of all the BP churches and the principal of the Far Eastern Bible College, he used to refer to him as a gospel prophet that presents Jesus Christ and his gospel. The prophecies of the birth of Christ in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and the fulfillment of the prophecies 700 years ago, later in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The book of Isaiah is considered messianic, because the messengers have Christ and his gospel in them. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, do you know that we are all saved by his gospel? And here there is a description of what is the gospel. If you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we shall read from 3 to 4. Brother, may I read from verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Firstly, Emmanuel has come according to the prophecy. And let me begin by reading in Isaiah chapter 7. I shall read from verse 1 to 14. Please turn to me to Isaiah chapter 7. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Resin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Sichab, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, Take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tears of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Resin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Resin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord, thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We thank the Lord for the blessings for the reading of his word. The theme of this prophetic passage is taken from the last verse of Isaiah 7:14. Firstly, let me turn to you the historical setting of this prophecy. During the reign of Ahaz, who was not a good king of Judah in the year of 734 BC, he did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God. And if you could turn to 2 Kings chapter 16. 2 Kings chapter 16. And you look at verse 3 and 4. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and make his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. But the father, Jotham, he was an upright and good king. He removed the high places. He built the house of the Lord. He led the people to worship at the temple of the Lord. And you can read that in 2 Kings chapter 15 from verses 30 to 32 to 38. The year 734 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah, they was under attack. And Ahaz was full of anxieties, and the people were frightened, because the king of Syria and the king of the northern Israel, they have formed an alliance and to dethrone Ahaz so that they could replace him with another king, and the Syrian king and the Israel king and the new king of Judah. They would join forces and then so that they could form a powerful alliance to bring against the powerful Assyrian empire. If you look at verse 2 in Isaiah 7, and it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. If you look further at verse 6, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabith. So during this time, Ahaz fought political alliances with the Assyrian Empire to fight against the threats of Egypt from the south and Syria and Israel from the north. Isn't it sounding very familiar with our present world today? You can see that countries now are forming alliances. They are forming because they don't take advantage upon each other. They are forming all for the purpose of their benefits. God sent Isaiah, the prophet, to warn Ahaz that his alliance with the godless Gentiles would not work, and he encouraged the king to put his trust in the Lord. And God informed him, within 65 years, the ties between the northern Israel and Syria will be broken, and their power will be weakened, and their enemies will be destroyed. If you look at verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. God asked Ahaz to be firm and trust him. But it turns to be that he did not trust God. God said that if he was not firm, he would lose his kingdom. If you look at verse 9, if ye will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Brothers and sisters in Christ, here is a lesson for us that we can learn on the faith of Ahaz. Isn't it very familiar with most of us? That we sometimes as Christians, we have no fear for God. We like to do things on our own, and worse still, and act on our own as if there is no God, and without praying to God and seek his will. Before the Lord has another way for you, you have already made up your mind and determined to do it. You look at Ahaz. Ahaz has made up his mind. He put priority to himself and God second. We depend a lot on our wisdom, brother, than to fall on our knees and to seek God and his righteousness. And every Christian who does not care God's say, they will compromise with the world. The people do not believe in the promise of God, and so to the people of Judah. King Ahaz did not listen to God. Ahaz depended on his alliances with Assyria to protect himself. And God told him not to put confidence on men, but to turn into God. That God even encouraged Ahaz despite of his disobedience to God's instruction. God graciously asked Ahaz and to ask him for a sign to confirm the power of God to save the land of Judah. God even asked him, ask anything freely at your choice. Ahaz, ask me a miracle and I will perform it. So you see, God is ready to perform as to his promise. But Ahaz did not do that. If you look at verse 11, he says, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it, either in the depth or in the height above. Verse 12. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Ahaz refused God's request for not allowing God to show his mighty power. And so God declared that he will give a sign, not only to Ahaz, but also to the whole house of David and to the entire nation and for the future of his people, that he will send a Messiah to save them. And God's sign is in the word in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know what happened to Ahaz? What happened if you do not hear God's word? We see Ahaz's rejection in God's word. And eventually, Judah and the people, they were taken bondage to Assyria. And then the people suffered. You can find out the details if you can turn to 2 Kings 16 and 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Now let us look briefly the meaning of this prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore here denotes the connection to all the previous statements. And then God says, behold, God is calling. He's calling attention to this unusual birth that is about to be announced. A virgin shall conceive. And the word here, virgin, it used here refers to a specific woman. One, indeed, a young woman who is a virgin. And a virgin who shall conceive. And here means a virgin woman who is pregnant. And so in the prophet Isaiah's view, Isaiah sees that a virgin woman who will about to bear a son in the future. And this son is the incarnate son of God who is Christ. As we can read this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that Isaiah prophesies, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the prophet says that this prophecy will be fulfilled, and Israel and all other nations will be saved, because God is almighty and power, and that God is true, and God will not tell a lie. And he has promised that God will be with the Israelites and the Gentiles. That the virgin shall conceive a child other than the five aspects of Christ's name. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But he has another name, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And this is a prophetic sign that God indicated to Ahaz, the house of David and the entire nation, that God the Father gives his Son to condescend in human form as God with us. That the Son must be the perfect man, the particle of flesh and blood, as in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And then we look at Galatians chapter 4, 4 to 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And here, referring to the children of God. And then in Hebrews 7:26, he reminds us that the mediator be the perfect man, for such a high priest became us, that he must be holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and make higher than the heavens, that he is the perfect both God and man, having a divine nature in God and a human nature in person, whom God manifests in the flesh. Then he can absolutely be our Redeemer. Behold, the Lamb of God who had come. And so in summary, what is the prophecies of Emmanuel? It is this. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and that the son is none other than the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, Emmanuel come, Emmanuel God with us, he has come according to his prophecy. He has come to fulfill the prophecy. Let me now turn from the Messiah, from this Messiah prophecy, now to secondly, Christ's fulfillment in the prophecies in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. As Matthew records it in chapter 1, 18 to 25. And let us read again from chapter 1, I shall read from 18 to 21 about the birth of Christ. And now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Mary was now pregnant, and she did not want to tell Joseph, to whom that Mary was espoused. And Joseph knew that the pregnancy was not due to him. He wanted to pull her away privately. And he must have wondered and pondered, what happened to Mary, who was the good and virtuous woman whom he has known for some time? And just as he was thinking on these things, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. And the Lord said, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord told Joseph to take Mary as his wife. And the baby in Mary's womb was no ordinary child. And Mary will give birth to this child, who will save his people from their sins. And then Joseph did what the angel told him, and Joseph accepted Mary. And this is done in order to fulfill the prophecy from Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. So now you see here that Joseph, if you compare Joseph to Ahaz, the wicked king of Judah, both are sons of God. Ahaz, rich, powerful, but Joseph, poor, a carpenter. But when God graciously wanted to give Ahaz a sign as an assurance that of Judah's hope in the midst of adversity, Ahaz chose to refuse and therefore rejected God. But whereas Joseph, being a God-fearing Jew, did as the angel of the Lord, that he did not object or question or doubt the words of the angels. And Joseph did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. And Joseph took Mary as his wife. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. And Joseph believed, and he obeyed to the command of the angel. And how did Mary, on the other hand, respond to the divine prophecy? And God answered Mary when she conceived. Let us turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 37 and 38. Turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 37 and 38. Luke For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So you see, Mary responded to God with trust and obedience, as did Joseph. And Mary could not understand that how the plan of God could be fulfilled. But God, nothing shall be impossible, because our God can do miraculous works for his own glory, for his own purpose, and for his own plan. Joseph and Mary, they were blessed with the child of God. Christ has come. Christ has come to save the Jews and the Gentiles in the world. And God's words tell us, For unto us, the Jews and the Gentiles, the child is born. Unto us, the Jews and the Gentiles, the Son is given. And God has intended that the Gentile world that will be included in his salvation plan through his only eternally begotten Son, who came as Emmanuel, God with us. If you look in Matthew chapter 4, and we look at 14 to 16, tells of Jesus coming to Capernaum at the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. And Jesus came to save these people from the sins. And this is in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. And here the nation is equivalent to the Gentiles. That the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. The day that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them had the light shined. And Jesus is that great light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That he was the true light, which lighted every man that come into the world. John chapter 1, verses 4 to 5 and verse 9. Jesus was going to shine forth his light and his truth in this small village of Capernaum. And we saw that the fishermen being called up to become Jesus' disciples. We also saw the man who was possessed by the demons, and he was delivered in the synagogue. And we also saw how Peter's mother-in-law was being healed. Christ came to bring spiritual deliverance from their sins at his first coming. The people in those regions, they had suffered much from the attack of the mighty Assyrian armies in Isaiah's time. Centuries later, Christ has come to bring the light of salvation to the people in those regions. The people who live in the region comprised a small group of Gentiles who are in spiritual darkness and bondage. And the Lord Jesus' ministry to those regions is consistent with the Lord's great commission to his church, which Matthew recorded for us, which states that Christ's gospel of redeeming grace is to preach in all nations and to every creature. And you can find this in Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20, about the Great Commission. Thus, it is unto us and unto them that the Holy Child Jesus was born, and he, the Son, was given. Tonight, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, remember that Christ, the Emmanuel, has come according to the prophecies in Isaiah and the fulfillment of his prophecies in Matthew. Of his first coming in Matthew. May many hearts be drawn to Christ this Christmas and to seek eternal salvation in him alone, who was born to die the substitutionary death for all their sins. Christ, the Emmanuel, has come. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have you received him as your Lord and only Savior? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee for the gift of thy begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He humbled himself and came down on this earth to save us from our sins. We pray that this Christmas, thou will come into our hearts, and may God be with us. Bless all of us on this special night. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.